We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, read each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today and the Dean Borgant Society, with our national studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, Director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 833. 833 weeks of weekly broadcasting and standing together with the Dean Borgant Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional received Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on the question and answer phone, 856-854-4452, or email bft@BibleForToday.org. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to get our book called Defending the King James Bible, now in its 8th printing, 350 pages, hardback edition. Might I'd ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible, or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. We'll tell you how to get it. Then, have you ordered your Defined King James Bible, published with the Bible for Today? Uncommon words in the King James are defined accurately in the footnotes. It's deluxe, genuine leather. Not another Bible like it in the world. 12-point large print or 10-point medium print. Over 46,000 are in print and distributed worldwide. Why not order yourself a copy and one for your friends, the Defined King James Bible? And then, free and postpaid, we're going to make you this offer, probably the last of this month, The Foes of the King James Bible Refuted, 156-page book, free and postpaid, $13 value, and that answers about 303 problems with the John Ankerberg telecast that we've been talking about these past months. And we're on issue number 222 out of 303. James White is the one that's talking, and he said on the John Ankerberg telecast, he asked unbelievingly regarding the preservation of the text of Scripture. He said, quote, did he do so, that is God, did he do so by, for example, having one religious group in one religious area grab hold of the text and hold the originals or something like that? End of quote. That's from the script, John Ankerberg's script, page 47. Well, what's my comment? Well, I would simply say, well, yes, this is exactly what God did. God sent the original New Testament Greek manuscripts to the original areas, which were the recipients of those books, such as Ephesus, Colossae, Philippi, and so on. Rome. This was the group that held the originals, and copies were made from them. So this is exactly what God did. Well, here's issue number 223 out of 303. James White again. He denies Bible corruption. Here's what he said on the Ankerberg Show. In speaking of the doctrinal corruption of the Bible, James White said this, quote, it was not within the capacity of men or man to corrupt the Scriptures in that way, end of quote. That's from the Ankerberg script, page 48. What's my comment? I'd simply say this. This is another false statement. James White certainly has an erroneous view of the nature of man. He doesn't think man can corrupt things. I believe in the depravity of man, depraved, unregenerate man, has every capacity in him to corrupt the Scripture or anything else. We've already listed a number of things indeed, of the heretics, these heretics that have corrupted the Scriptures in a doctrinal manner, in other broadcasts. And these heretics are spoken of in church history. So it's no question, no problem that, yes, the Bible, the Scriptures, the New Testament have been corrupted. Those words, the heretics have done it. Edition number 224 out of 303, John Ankerberg again asked, talking about the mistakes in the New Testament Greek text, and he said this, quote, they're not all going to make the same mistake in the same spot, end of quote, from the Ankerberg script, page 48. What's my comment? I would simply say they're trying to convey to the listeners, this Ankerberg telecast and video, that there is variation and even mistakes, corruptions, and changes in the New Testament Greek text. Now, this is not the thing that ought to be stressed. If you want to talk about B and Aleph, the Vatican and Sinai false Alexandrian manuscripts, those words, the Westcott and Hort texts. If you want to talk about those, you have thousands of variations, corruptions, and mistakes. No question about it. But if you're talking about the Textus Receptus type of text, the traditional text, the Byzantine text, those manuscripts are remarkable in that they are almost identical one to the other, and the variations are very few. And many variations involve only the spelling of names or other minor things. That's the remarkable thing about over 99% of the manuscripts that go along with the King James Bible and the Textus Receptus, 5,510 approximately. We should not be commenting on variations, mistakes, or differences. We should, on the other hand, be stressing the fact of the similarities, because the Textus Receptus text and the manuscripts and the words which underlie our King James Bible are so similar. In fact, Westcott and Hort were very upset and troubled about the similarity. They had to explain how these texts were so similar and practically identical. That's why they had to concoct this false theory of recensions or additions. First in 250 AD and then again 350 AD. They had to make this up. They had to give their false explanations of why these manuscripts were almost identical. Doesn't James White, and didn't James White say on page 48 of the script, Jan Ankerberg script, near our comment number 223, that it was, quote, not within the capacity of man to corrupt the scriptures, end of quote? So how can he believe both that and the recension theory, which alleges falsely that man did corrupt the scripture? I was just wondering, is this not circular reasoning? That's my question on that one. Let's go to copy issue number 225 out of 303. It's an erroneous illustration. Here's an erroneous illustration. John Ankerberg, the host of this Ankerberg telecast, used as an illustration about A students and B students copying things. This is from the script, Ankerberg script, page 48. Well, what's my comment? Well, John Ankerberg said an unfortunate illustration, used an unfortunate illustration of two kinds of students, A students and B students, who copied the same material. The A students, according to the analogy of John Ankerberg, are similar to those copying B and A of the Vatican Sinai false Greek manuscripts. He considered these to be the good copies. These he likened to the manuscripts of Westcott and Hort and their followers used. In reality, these manuscripts of B and Aleph are the worst that have ever seen the light of day, according to Dean John William Bergen. That was his assessment of them. Well, issue number 226 out of 303. Dan Wallace, in his analogy of students copying material, implies that errors were made in the New Testament. That's what he implies. Dan Wallace from Dallas Seminary. This is from the Ankerberg script, page 48. What are my comments on this? Well, Dan Wallace tells his students to purposely change what they were copying for theological reasons, or eliminate a few words, or some other thing. He seems to be trying to prove that these men who are copying the manuscripts were leaving out words. That's what he's implying as he gives an illustration to his own students. Last quarter, issue number 227 out of 303. 227. He says this. John Ankerberg, speaking of God, said this. He didn't just give us one document. He didn't give us just one document, he said. And that came down that we can all worship. He says he has given us thousands, end of quote, page 48 of the script. That's what Ankerberg himself said. Well, many manuscripts are not being used. Here's my comment. If that's the case, why do these people practically worship the one manuscript, B, of the Vatican, if he's given us thousands? Now, that's what they're doing. They're worshiping, practically worshiping, one manuscript. In their introduction to the Greek New Testament, for example, Westcott and Hort, in their argument, is summed up as follows. quote, B is the manuscript that Westcott and Hort have forced upon the unbelieving and the believing world, both the believing and the unbelieving world. That's what they forced upon us. Westcott and Hort said that B is the most neutral of all other manuscripts, and no matter what other manuscripts say, if you can get Aleph, the Sinai, to agree with B, the Vatican, they believe that's the original wording. Well, if Aleph or Sinai doesn't agree with B, the Vatican, then get another copy, another major manuscript that does agree with the Vatican manuscript B. Then the two of them that agree together become, for Westcott and Hort and their followers, the original wording of the New Testament text. Now, that's the way they term the worship of B, the Vatican manuscript. Westcott and Hort maintain in their introduction to the Greek New Testament of 1881, if you cannot get a single solitary manuscript to agree with B, the Vatican, then take B, the Vatican manuscript, and B alone. Now, that's their conclusion. It's right in their introduction to the New Testament, 1881. Now, when John Ankerberg says, God has not just given us one document, my friend, the text that underlies the King James Bible, the text of Receptus, is not simply one document. The power of God's preservation of His words is not that we only have one document, but we have thousands of documents, 5,210 documents, and basically they all agree. This agreement proves that these approximately 45 manuscripts of Westcott and Hort and B and Aleph are false, and indeed that's what they are. Let's go to issue number 228 out of 303. Here's John Ankerberg, the host, saying of the manuscripts we now have, quote, by looking at all of these and comparing them, they didn't all make the mistakes in the same spot, end of quote. Script page 48. Well, what's my answer here? My comment is simply this. Notice John Ankerberg said, quote, by looking at all of these and comparing them, end of quote. All of these includes, as of 1967 by Kurt Allen and his own admission, it means looking at 5,255 Greek manuscripts that have been preserved for us today. Now, that's what Kurt Allen said. He's a scholar in that area. He's dead now. Do you know how many manuscripts Westcott and Hort and their believers of today look at? They don't look at 5,255 manuscripts. They look at only 45, approximately 45, less than 1% of the evidence that has been preserved. Now, that's B and Aleph and 43 others. That's according to the research of Dr. Jack Mormon. It's listed for us in his book that we've reprinted, the Dean Bergen Society has reprinted, called Forever Settled. Now, they do not examine the other 5,210 manuscripts or more than 99% of the evidence. They don't look at that. These modern version people, these Westcott and Hort people, these critical text people, in fact, they do not even collate them. All they're doing is saying that B and Aleph are correct, and when these two false manuscripts say something, they wrongly believe that these are correct. And that's not the way it is. That's false. Let's go on to issue number 229 out of 303. Dr. Joseph Chambers, now he's for the Textus Receptus in the King James Bible, he mentioned that the Alexandrian text has only about 40 or 50 manuscripts. That's from the script, page 49. That's my comment. Well, Dr. Chambers has got it right on target, according to Dr. Jack Mormon's book, Forever Settled. We talked about that. By the way, that's available if you're interested in it. It's 217 pages, hardback pages. It's BFT number 1428. There are only about 45 manuscripts to go along. The 5,255 plus what we have, that's less than 1% of the evidence. Dr. Chambers is exactly right. They don't look at all of them at all. Issue number 230 out of 303. Dr. Chambers said, quote, I questioned. And then he was interrupted. I don't understand the lack of fairness of John Ankerberg on this telecast and this tape recording. Here you have five of the Westcott and Hort New Version people, and you have only three of the Texas Separatist people. And yet, here's Dr. Chambers, one of three, interrupted. Can't even get his question out. Can't even make his statement. This is terrible indeed. Well, let's go on to issue number 231 out of 303. Some false statements about the Church Fathers. John Ankerberg, the host, quoted from Josh McDowell's book and said that if you did away with all the New Testament manuscripts, quote, you could replace the entire New Testament by just looking at the Church Fathers and how they quoted the New Testament except for 8 verses. End of quote from the script, the Ankerberg script, page 49. What's my comment on these Church Fathers? Well, I don't believe that at all. I don't believe it. I don't believe that the Church Fathers, now Church Fathers are leaders in the early church that wrote letters, quoted scripture to the various churches under them. That's what the Church Fathers are. The Patristic Fathers, they call them Patristics. I don't believe that they can give us all the New Testament at all. The Church Fathers did quote some portions of the New Testament. That's correct. And they alluded to some portions. That's correct. And Dean John William Burgon has amassed over 86,000 quotations or allusions to the New Testament from these Church Fathers, about 300 or so that have written extensively. He's analyzed them, and he's found that a ratio of 3-2 in favor of the Texas Receptus type of quotations from these Church Fathers. And this is 1-5 or 60% to 40% actually in favor of the Texas Receptus quotes that underlie our King James Bible. Now, if needed, the early Church Fathers who looked at Dr. Jack Mormon's book as far as when he looked at it, if indeed the early Church Fathers we looked at in Dr. Jack Mormon's book, if they found recently even a higher ratio, that is a 2-3 or ratio of 70% to 30%. The early Church Fathers that Dr. Mormon looked at or even a higher ratio in favor of the Texas Receptus that underlies our King James Bible. These early church leaders that quoted or alluded to the scriptures, 70% against 30% were from their traditional type of text, not to the Be and Aleph readings. Now this forever settled, or released the results of this, the 63-page results of this is BFT number 2136. It's available if you're interested in it. He gives it to you. It's available from the Bible for Today. And both Dean Burgon and Dr. Mormon examined only the Church Fathers who died 400 A.D. or before. So these are ancient Church Fathers, 400 A.D. or before they died. It's highly improbable that their quotations and come up with all the New Testament except 8 verses. I don't believe that. Let's go on to issue number 232 out of 303. Arthur Farstad, who's with us now, he's a graduate of Dallas Seminary, and he's the man in charge of the New King James Version. Arthur Farstad said this, quote, "This is true that you can reconstruct the New Testament," end of quote from the script, page 49. What's my comment? Again, I don't agree that you can reconstruct the New Testament from these Church Fathers at all. I don't agree with this. You can't do it. The whole New Testament, even Arthur Farstad admitted that the Church Fathers quoted often from memory and were not exact. What sort of a text would that be? Though this is true, you can at least tell which text they're quoting from, whether the text Receptus or traditional text, or from the wrong B and Aleph Vatican and Sinai text. You can tell that. Well, let's go to issue number 233 out of 303. The host again, John Ankerberg, said that this was, quote, more information to compare in terms of getting back to what the apostles actually wrote, end of quote, from the Ankerberg script, page 49. What's my comment? Well, that's true. But from these early church fathers' quotations or allusions, the Textus Receptus type of text is seen to have been used in a ratio of either 60% to 40%, that's Dean Burgon's figures, or 70% to 30%, that's Dr. Jack Mormon's figures. These truths are not accepted by John Ankerberg and his companions. They don't expect and accept this. And in fact, many people say the text was such a traditional text wasn't even in existence prior to 400. But if this be the case, how could these church fathers who died 400 AD and before, how could they quote or allude to the received traditional text in upwards of 70% of the cases if it wasn't even in existence? It's a false claim indeed. Well, let's go ahead and talk about issue number 234 out of 303, the confusing New King James Version footnotes. Arthur Fastad, who was in charge of the New King James Version before he died, he said this, quote, "We shouldn't be criticized, that is we, the New King James, for having notes in the New King James that show critical and majority text readings," end of quote. That's from the Anchorage Script, page 49. What's my comment on that one? Well, Arthur Fastad is justifying the New King James Version textual footnotes in their study editions. That's what he's doing. I don't go along with it. I don't like those notes. The notes in the study edition of the New King James Version are destructive. The notes are confusing, in my judgment. Satan, I'm sure, is very happy with these notes in the study edition of the New King James Version because he is the author of confusion. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says he is. At least it says God is not the author. We assume it's Satan. Now, these footnotes in the study edition of the New King James are an admission that they really don't know which readings are correct and which are in error. On the top of the page, the New King James Version claims to be translating from the Textus Receptus. Well, in the notes, I don't know what Textus Receptus, I found at least three places just by accident that they didn't use the Textus Receptus. Another friend of mine did some research. He found over 1,200 places where they did not use the Textus Receptus. But be that as it may, the notes on the top purportedly are from the Textus Receptus, and then in the footnotes, however, they give the readings of the NU, that's the Nestle Aland United Bible Society text, and then that's the Old West Garden Road type of text. In addition to the NU, Nestle United Bible, they have MT, which stands for Majority Text Reading. The majority text differs from the Textus Receptus in over 1,800 places. In my book called Defending the King James Bible, which I hope you'll get, call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. We'll tell you how to get it. It's in its 8th printing, 350 pages. In my book, I've criticized the New King James Version for doing this. That is, putting these erroneous footnotes in the footnotes. This casts doubt. And when you see a footnote doubting the last 12 verses of Mark, for example, you don't know which is right. God is not the author of confusion, 1 Corinthians 14:33. In the New Testament version and in the New American Standard, I should say the New International Version and the New American Standard Version, you don't see any footnotes showing another reading. They only have their own reading. Why in the New King James do they waffle and vacillate in their opinions? In fact, in the back part of the study edition, which I have, they boast about having the reader being able to be a textual critic for himself and to leave out portions that he doesn't think should be in the original, so they can throw it out if they wish. I don't agree with that at all. Let's go to issue number 235 out of 303. John Ankerberg, the host, commenting on the New King James footnotes, said, quote, "which is nothing more than they did in the 1611 edition," end of quote, from the Ankerberg Script, page 49. What's my comment on this? Well, this is absolutely false. They did not do this in the 1611 edition at all. They never put in what the Westcott and Hort readings were, what the majority text readings were throughout the New Testament. That's a false thing completely. Either John Ankerberg doesn't know what the 1611 edition is, or if he does know what it is, he's falsely stating his case. This is Ankerberg himself. If you want a copy of this, the printed edition at least, put out by Nelson Publishers, we carry it. Bible for today, it's number 1102. Number 1102. You can see what these notes are in the King James 1611. They have very little to do with variant readings. I think the total is about 100 or 103 variant readings from Old and New Testament combined. 103 out of the over 700 or 800 notes. Very small indeed. Well, let's go to issue number 236 out of 303. They have a false view of Greek manuscripts. Now, here's Dr. Chambers, who's for the King James, quoting from the NIV book, said, quote, "The NIV says basically in this book that they used Vaticanus and Sinaiticus." That's from the Anchorage Script, page 49. What's my comment? That's true. The NIV basically does go by the Vatican and Sinai B&L manuscripts, the Westcott and Ord false manuscripts. Issue number 237 out of 303. Dan Wallace again from Dallas Seminary, same as mine. I'm from the old Dallas, he's from the new Dallas. He refers to his chart called, quote, "The Myth About Modern Translations," end quote, which is chart number 2 on page 50 of the script. Well, that's Ankerberg script, page 49. So that's what Dan Wallace is saying, to the effect that the myth about modern translations. What's my comment on this? Well, if you look at chart number 2 on page 50 of the script of John Ankerberg's telecast, you see that Dan Wallace says it's a myth that the King James Bible goes back to the 2nd century. Actually, the text which underlies it goes back to the 1st century. If you look at Dan Wallace's chart number 3 on page 51 of the script, which is called "The Manuscripts Behind the Modern Translations," he's trying to correct this so-called myth. The chart alleges, doesn't prove, alleges that the number of manuscripts which underlies the King James Bible are only 6. That's what he says. And he dates these 6 from the 12th century. Now that's the myth. That is the myth. The manuscripts which underlie King James Bible are many more than that. Many more than 6. There are over 5,210 manuscripts that underlie our Textus Receptus used by the King James Bible translators. The Greek words which are behind the King James Bible go back to the 1st century originals, regardless of the date of the copies. This chart of Dan Wallace alleges that the NIV has 5,000 manuscripts behind it. Absolutely false. The question I have in my mind is, how many did they use? They used B&L, perhaps, and 43 others, a total of 45 out of 5,255 manuscripts available. That's less than 1%. This is a false and lying chart. Time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, "I am the door. By me, if any man hath any, shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Write us. Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. Or call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible, the Defined King James Bible. Get your free copy of Foes of the King James Refuted, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite, signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. So long until next broadcast. Don't miss it. See you same time, same station. Until then, so long. And I want you to stay tuned, my friends. We're going to continue next week in issue number 238 out of 303. The John Ankerberg telecast has a host of problems, difficulties, and errors. We want you to be up on them. Stay tuned. Till then, we'll see you next week, same time, same station. So long. We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society with International Studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, Director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 832. 832 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional received Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on our question and answer phone, 856-854-4452, or email bft@bibletoday.org. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to get our book. We call Defending the King James Bible. Now it's 8th printing, 350 pages, hardback edition. Why not ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible? Or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Then have you ordered your Defined King James Bible, published with the Bible for Today? Uncommon words in the King James are defined accurately in the footnotes. Not another Bible like it in the world. It's deluxe, genuine leather, choice of 12-point large print, 10-point medium print, over 46,000 are in print and distributed worldwide. Why not order yourself a copy and one for your friends? The Defined King James Bible. And then, if you got your free and postpaid Foes of the King James Bible Refuted, 156-page book we've been talking about these past weeks and even months, it's an answer to the John Ankerberg telecast and the various things that need to be refuted. Foes of the King James Bible Refuted. 303 of the things that are items of problems and issues we've been dealing with on the broadcast. This is yours, a $13 value, free and postage paid for the request. Call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9 and ask for Foes of the King James Bible Refuted. All right, we're on the broadcast now talking about issue number 238 out of 303. Dan Wallace, we're on page 112 of our book. Dan Wallace of Dallas Seminary, which is a school that I went to also. I'm from the old Dallas, he's from the new Dallas. Dan Wallace said that the King James Bible was based, quote, essentially on six manuscripts that Erasmus used that came from about the 10th to the 13th century, most of them from the 12th century. End of quote. The Ankerberg script, page 49. What's my answer and comment? Well, I'd simply say the King James Bible is not based on the Erasmus Greek text. It is based on Beza's 5th edition, 1598. Now, Erasmus was 1516, Beza 1598, 82 years later. Absolutely false. Now, I realize there's not a whole lot of difference between the Erasmus text and the Beza text, but the text of 1598 had a finer tune-up than Erasmus of 1516, and that's why the King James translators basically used Beza 5th edition, 1598. I don't believe that the figure of the manuscripts, six manuscripts, is true either. Even for Erasmus. I believe there were a few others as well. Erasmus searched the libraries of Europe comparing Greek manuscripts. He used the manuscripts that he felt were the most faithful. Now, obviously, it was a sampling, but he sampled the right manuscripts and used them. The materials on which the words were written ought to be from later centuries. They certainly were, they might be, but it's most important to see that the words were copied from the first century originals, and the words are what is important, but not Erasmus, but Beza. All right, issue number 239 out of 303, Dan Wallace again from Dallas said this, quote, "The revised version of 1881 was based on 2,000 manuscripts," end of quote, from the script of Ankerberg, page 49. What's my comment? Well, this revised edition of 1881 was based primarily on B and Aleph, not on 2,000 manuscripts. That's absolutely, totally false. How could Dan Wallace ever think this? They may have had 2,000 manuscripts at the time, but they didn't use them. If Dan Wallace or anybody listening to me would look at the introduction to the Greek text written by Hort of the Westcott and Hort team, you'll find that they based the English Revised Version of 1881 on basically the B or the Vatican manuscript, or Aleph, the Sinai manuscript, or manuscripts that agreed with B. They did not base it on the 2,000 they may have had. Absolutely, totally false. And this is what falsehoods have been taught by Dan Wallace at Dallas Theological Seminary currently as we now speak. And it's wrong, dead wrong. Well, let me continue. Issue number 240 out of 303. Dan Wallace again from Dallas, he said, speaking of the NIV, New International Version, quote, "Now we're basing it on over 5,000 manuscripts," end of quote. Anchorbridge Script, page 52. What's my comment? The New International Version has not been based on the 5,000 manuscripts at all. It's true that we have 5,255 manuscripts as of 1967. There have been about 100 more found since then, but this is the Kurt Island note and total at that time, 1967. But they don't use 5,255 manuscripts in the NIV. They used B of the Vatican, Aleph the Sinai, and approximately 43 others that agreed with them. You may have 1,000 books in your library, but if you don't use them, then does that mean that you base all your statements on those 1,000 books? Stupidity, absolute ignorance, falsity. No, you base your comments on the one or two that you may use. You don't base them on the entire 1,000 books. And for Dan Wallace to have the audacity and the actual ignorance and falsity to say that the New International Version is based on all 5,000 Greek manuscripts we have in possession, where did he come off the boat? Where did he get this fake and false information that he's promulgating on this John Ankerberg show? I am incensed at the falsehoods. No wonder I felt led of the Lord to write this book, Foes of the King James Bible, refuted. Dan Wallace is one of the foes that needs to be refuted, and we're refuting him on these broadcasts. Pardon me if I get a little bit shook up on this, but this is a serious, serious error. Let's go to issue number 241 out of 303. Again, Dan Wallace of Dallas Seminary defended his 2,000 and 5,000 numbers of manuscripts, respectively, that formed the basis of the English Revised Version of 1881 and the New International Version of 1973. This is from the script of Ankerberg, page 52. What's my comment? Well, the number of manuscripts is absolutely false. The manuscript used for the 1881 version was not 2,000 manuscripts. Westcott and Hort were on the committee. They fought like cats and dogs with Dr. Frederick Scrivener, who stood for the traditional text. And Westcott and Hort had been 20 to 30 years preparing the false and fake Greek New Testament on which the English Revised Version was based. And if you look at the introduction of Westcott and Hort, written mostly by Hort, if you look at their introduction to the Greek New Testament, they say very plainly that they use basically manuscript B, or manuscript Aleph and B if they both concur. And to say that the NIV has a total of 5,000 manuscripts is also false. In both instances, there's only one principal manuscript which is used, and that is the Vatican manuscript B. B is worshipped and used more than any other manuscripts. And where changes occurred in the text of Septus, they occurred because B and or Aleph, maybe other allies, said so. That's why they changed it. That's why they changed the text. The versions today, the New International, New American Standard, Revised Standard, New Revised, and the footnotes and the study edition of the New King James are basically based on one manuscript, that is B. Sometimes B and Aleph, if they agree. But remember, my friends, B and Aleph disagree in the Gospels alone, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John alone, according to the research of a great soul, a man, Herman Hesker, on Codex B and its allies. They differ one with the other over 3,000 significant times, over 3,000 significant times in the Gospels alone, B and Aleph. Well, let's go on issue number 242 out of 303. Dan Wallace again from Dallas Seminary said this, quote, "The King James was based on Erasmus' text of 6 manuscripts, and he looked at a little bit more material." Well, I'm glad he corrects a little bit on that. What are my comments? Well, here's that lie again. the lie of Dan Wallace, a professor at Dallas Theological Seminary, my school. I'm ashamed of him and his falsehood. The King James Bible is not based on 6 manuscripts of Erasmus. I repeat, it was based upon Beza's 5th edition, Greek text, the 1598, that's the basis. And if, in fact, only 6 manuscripts were used by Erasmus, there were 6 very accurate and representative manuscripts that Erasmus used, because now we have 5,210 manuscripts that are almost identical to his, and it's all going along with the text that underlies our King James Bible. Now, the text which underlies our King James Bible rests upon an average of 99% of all the manuscripts that we have, over 99%. This includes the uncials, those capital letter manuscripts. This includes the papyri, that brittle paper type of material from Egypt. That includes the cursives, the flowing hand manuscripts. That includes the lectionaries that were read in the churches from the scriptures in the New Testament. The King James Bible has a wide base, much wider than any other English version in existence. And Dan Wallace is trying to imply that the King James Bible has a slim, narrow, thin, tiny base of 6 manuscripts. Entirely false. To say that the Westcott and Hort text of 1881 was based on 2,000 manuscripts is simply a fairy tale. To say that the New International Version is based on 5,000 manuscripts is also a fairy tale, a fantasy, and Dan Wallace is a falsifier of truth. And you can quote me when you write him and tell him that I said so. And I'm ashamed that he's teaching at my school where I graduated in 1940 or 1952, and again in 1955. Master of Theology and Doctor of Theology from Dallas Theological Seminary, the old Dallas, the one that was led and founded and taught all of our classes, all of our 4 years, by its founder, Dr. Lewis Sperry Schaefer. Let's go to issue number 243 out of 303. Arthur Farstad said that the King James Bible was based on the Complutensian Polyglot and Beza. That's from the Ankerberg Script, page 52. What's my comment? Well, Dan Wallace was wrong saying that the basis of the King James Bible was the Greek text of Erasmus. He was wrong. Arthur Farstad was half wrong by including the Complutensian Polyglot as its basis, because the Complutensian Polyglot came along the same time generally as Erasmus. In fact, the Complutensian Polyglot by Jimenez, Cardinal Jimenez, preceded Erasmus as far as its completion, but Erasmus pushed it ahead and printed it before the Complutensian, because that's 1516. It's wrong on that statement. It was Beza's 5th edition, 1598, which was the exact text on which the King James Bible was based. So Arthur Farstad is right halfway and wrong halfway on his statement. It was certainly not the Erasmus text. If you want to see a scholarly work of the exact Greek text on which the King James Bible was based, you should request from us the original Greek text of Dr. H. A. Scrivener, F. H. A. Scrivener. Now, that's BFD number 1670. It's a total of 668 pages, a huge research. And you'll find that it's based on the Erasmus, not on the Erasmus text, rather, but on the Beza text, with only 190 exceptions that didn't follow that particular edition. Dr. K.D. DeVitro found even fewer than 190 exceptions. In fact, he did not find any after checking carefully that it was not based on the text which was given by Beza, 5th edition, 1598. But this, let me just simply say this. This edition is a tremendously important edition for pastors, for teachers, for students of the Greek language, because in it, in Dr. Scrivener's text, and we call it Scrivener's Annotated Greek New Testament, in that Scrivener's Annotated Greek New Testament, we have the exact words that Dr. Scrivener believes, the exact Greek words on which our King James Bible was based. Basically, it's Beza, 5th edition, 1598. But in addition to this, Dr. Scribner was commissioned, as we've said many times before on the broadcast, by the Cambridge University Press to indicate the changes that were made in this Textus Receptus, that is the base of the King James Bible, the changes that were made in it by Westcott and Hort, and by the English Revision Committee, English Revised Version of 1881. And so Dr. Scribner was faithful to his task that was appointed and assigned to him. And so, whenever there came a word in the Greek language, in the Textus Receptus that underlies the King James Bible, in this text, where Westcott and Hort and the English Revised Version changed that Greek word, he put that Greek word in bold black letters. Then in the footnotes, he shows how Westcott and Hort and the English Revised Version of 1881 changed that Greek word and how it was changed. I counted a total of these changes, these places where they changed it, 5,604 places. Some of those places, they changed an entire 12 verses, like Mark 16:9-20 and so on. So that's what this book is. It's both in hardback, Dr. Scribner's annotated Greek New Testament, is also in genuine leather. We just had a man recently order the leather copy. He wanted to make sure it would hold up. Tremendously helpful book, indeed. Let's go to issue number. By the way, my son, D.A. Wade Jr., has done an exhaustive work in transforming the excellent work of Dr. Scribner for the Greek people for the English-speaking people. And D.A. Jr. has put in the King James Bible, and he has underlined and put in different print the exact changes where Westcott and Hort have changed the King James Bible. In the footnotes, he's put how they changed it and so on. And so this is in the English format, whereas Dr. Scribner is in the Greek format. You want to get that one too. It's right now, as we're broadcasting, as we're taping this broadcast, it's right now at the printers in South Korea. They're printing it. It's going to be over 700 pages in length, and you'll have it available so that you can see here in your hand a small little book, a thin book, doesn't take, not too fat, 700 plus pages, in Bible paper, I think it is. It's a thinner paper, very good quality paper. You'll be able to see and compare any language, any English version that you have in your hand. You look up in the verse and see, did the Greek text change because Westcott and Hort changed it? Where did they change it? How did they change it? It's a tremendously important thing. We call it the doctored Greek New Testament. The doctored New Testament. Doctored by Westcott and Hort. All right, let's go on to number 244, issue 244 out of 303. When Arthur Fastad said, quote, Beza, mostly Beza, end quote, correcting himself properly, Dan Wallace said, I'm not so sure it was mostly Beza, end quote. That's the Anchor Verse Script, page 52. So here you have a clash between one of the earlier graduates of Dallas Seminary, Arthur Fastad, and one of the more recent ones, Dan Wallace, who teaches there. And he's trying to correct a fellow Dallas man, and here I'm a third Dallas man that disagrees with both of them and some of the things they said, but I certainly agree with Arthur Fastad when he said, mostly Beza. Fastad, who's with the Lord now, is correct. Mostly Beza. And to have Dan Wallace not agree is a strange thing indeed. Here's my comment on that. Dan Wallace is in serious error here, as in many other places. He is just plain wrong here and refuses to admit that he doesn't know something, that he doesn't know what he's talking about. He refuses to admit it. He needs to write to Dr. F.H.A. Scribner, and write, can't write to Scribner, write us for the copy of this Scribner's Annotated Greek New Testament, and to see that it was based firmly on Beza's 5th edition, 1598. Dr. Scribner was on the English Revised Committee of 1881. He was one of the greatest Greek scholars of his day, along with Dean John William Burgon, both of them great Greek scholars. He proclaims that this Greek text is Beza's text of 1598. This is the text that the King James Bible is based on, with about 190 places where the translators chose another source, but that's a small amount of changes because there's 186,000 plus words in the Greek New Testament. And this, the sources consulted by Dr. Scrivener, according to his appendix, page 648, are listed as Competentia Paraclet, Erasmus, Aldus, Colinaeus, Stephanus, Plantin of Antwerp, Beza's then Vulgate Latin, Tyndale's English, Authorized Version. He lists those 190 places where they use some other thing, but those are the other sources. But basically, it was Beza. Dr. Scrivener, scholarly and thorough in his appendix with the exact Greek changes that were listed. The changes were listed in his work, pages 648 to 656. As I say, this book, Scrivener's Annotated Greek New Testament, is available from his Bible for Today, 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. Or you can get it on the internet. It's just BFT number 1670, BFT 1670. And it's 668 pages. You should get it. Well, let's go on to issue number 245 out of 303. Dan Wallace again from Dallas quoted Kurt Alland to the effect that up until the time of Asterius, who died 341 A.D., quote, no church father used the Byzantine text as a text. Script, Ankerberg Script, page 52. What's my comment? Well, Dan Wallace's point of as a text is extremely subjective. I maintain that if a church father, early church writers, that's what a church father is, if he quoted or alluded to a word or a verse that was unique to the Textus Receptus or traditional text, then obviously he had that text in his hand. And I have mentioned before the excellent book, Early Church Fathers and the Authorized Version, a demonstration. It's written by Dr. Jack Mormon, one of our missionaries in London, England. Now, this is a companion volume to Early Men of Pathogen. On page 34 and 35 of the Early Church Fathers, he gives a list of the Church Fathers and their quotations from the Textus Receptus type of manuscripts of the so-called Byzantine text. This is BFT number 2136. 63 pages, and to have Kurt Alland state this falsehood and then to have Dan Wallace perpetuate it is very unfortunate. Now, it's false to state that no church father prior to Asterius, who died in 341 A.D., to say no church father prior to him used the Byzantine or received type of Greek text. Absolute false. As mentioned in Early Church Fathers and the Authorized Version, pages 34 to 45, Dr. Mormon found the following, who quoted from the Textus Receptus traditional text. It is Ignatius, who died 110 A.D. He quoted from the Textus Receptus type of text three different times. Now, you see the lie, the falsehood that's being gotten out by this Ankerberg telecast and Ankerberg video that's being rebroadcast, retelecast. Do you see why we wrote this Fools of the King James Bible Refuted? People must see this. People don't understand this. The common ordinary layman don't understand it. The pastors don't even understand it. And certainly the teachers and professors in schools, whether it's Bob Jones University, Detroit Baptist Seminary, Calvary Baptist Seminary, Central Baptist Seminary, whether it's a Dallas Seminary, whatever, can't understand it either. And they're mouthing falsehoods so that the unintelligent or the man, one that's not trained in the facts of the case, are being bamboozled. They're being bamboozled like a couple of people that are trying to sell some kind of false, fake medicine or cure-alls. They're being bamboozled. May I ask you again, how could Ignatius, who died 110 A.D., quote from the Textus Receptus type of text three different times, if it were not in his hands? It's false to say nobody quoted from this text before 341 A.D. Let me go with another one. Here's Polycarp, who died 156 A.D. He quoted from the Textus Receptus four times the traditional Greek text four different times. Now, how could he quote from it if it wasn't in existence? Here's another one. Tatian, one of the church fathers. He wrote in 170 A.D. He quoted from the Text Receptus 66 different times using the traditional text. He died writing in 170 A.D. Now, that's way before 341, where Dan Wallace lyingly, falsely states, and then Kurt Allen falsely states, and he's quoting Kurt Allen as if it's true, that no church father ever quoted from the Byzantine text as a text prior to 341 A.D. Well, how could Tatian do it 66 times? Irenaeus. This is based on Dr. Jack Mormon's research. If you want to get it, we have it. You can read it, study it. You can't refute it. Here's Irenaeus. He died in the year 2002 A.D. He quoted the Text Receptus 15. How did he quote from it if it was not in existence? The traditional text, the received text. Here's another one, Tertullian. He died in 220 A.D. And yet he quoted from the Text Receptus, or traditional text, 36 times. 36 times quoted from something that wasn't in existence at 220 when he died? Certainly it was in existence. It was in existence from the very first century, because it's the genuine New Testament that Peter wrote and Paul wrote and James and John and Mark and Luke and Matthew. Here's another one, Hippolytus. He died in 235 A.D. He quoted from the traditional text 6 times. Again, how could he quote from something that wasn't in existence? For all 40 of these early, 40 of the early church fathers and other early documents, see Dr. Mormon's work 2136, that's the BFT number. The above early church fathers and many more will disprove Don Wallace's and Kurt Allen's falsities. It's not true to make a distinction between the Text Receptus reading and Text Receptus text. To have a reading, the writer must have also had a text to go along with the reading. Time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Write us. Bible for Today, Connelly's Wood, New Jersey. Call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your books over Defending the King James Bible and the Defying King James Bible, or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite, signing off and reminding you, you have confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. So long till next broadcast. Don't miss it. We'd like to hear from you. Want to order our book, Defending the King James Bible, the Defying King James Bible, and your free copy of Foes of the King James Bible Refuted, free and postpaid, call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite, signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. We hope you'll stay tuned to the next broadcast, my friends. We're going to continue talking, maybe one or two more broadcasts on this Foes of the King James Bible Refuted. You ought to get a copy. Follow along. The information is here. The index is here. You can find the information at your fingertips. Index of certain words and phrases. We'll see you next broadcast, Lord willing. Same time, same station. Until then, so long. We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society with International Studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, Director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 835 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional received Greek New Testament text, and the received English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on a question at your phone, 856-854-4452, or email bft@bibleforToday.org. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to get our book called Defending the King James Bible. Now in its 8th printing, 350 pages, hardback edition. Want to ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible, or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Then have you received your Defined King James Bible, published for the Bible for Today? uncommon words in the King James are defined accurately in the footnotes. It's deluxe, genuine leather, choice of 12-point large print, 10-point medium print, over 46,000, 45,000, I guess it is now, are in print and distributed worldwide. Why don't I ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible and the Defined King James Bible for yourself and for your friends, the Defined King James Bible, not another Bible like it. Simply call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9 and order it. Then have you received yet your free and postpaid foes of the King James Bible Refuted? 156-page book, $13 value, yours for the asking, free and postpaid. We've been talking about the John Ankerberg telecast and the terrible errors that need to be refuted on that broadcast. 303 issues we take up. And today we start with issue 246. We're on page 115. 246 out of 303. And here Dan Wallace, the teacher from Dallas Seminary, which is my school, the old Dallas, he's with the new Dallas, he kept repeating the line of Asterius, the false argument. That is, that no Textus Receptus or traditional text appeared before the time of Asterius, who died 341 A.D. As we mentioned last week, our broadcast last week, there are many church fathers that used and quoted from the traditional text that died much earlier than 341 A.D. We mentioned last time, if you remember, Dr. Jack Mormon has given an excellent study on this, Ignatius. He lived 110 A.D. Polycarp died 156 A.D. He quoted the Textus Receptus four times. Tatian wrote in 170 A.D. He quoted the Textus Receptus 66 times. Irenaeus died 202 A.D. He quoted from it. Tertullian died 220. This is absolutely false. Let's go to issue number 247 out of 303. Again, Dan Wallace, he said that what he said was, Asterius, he says Asterius, whom he alleges to have first used the Byzantine text, was himself a heretic. He said that this doesn't make the Byzantine text a heretical text, but the implication is there. This is from Ankerberg Script, page 51. That's my comment. That is implying that the Byzantine text is heretical. He didn't say it, because a heretic used it. It's false logic. Not only is he in gross error, saying that the Textus Receptus, traditional text, wasn't even around until this man Asterius used it, and then he says Asterius was a heretic. Well, that's false logic. If heretics quoted from the Textus Receptus, it is because they had it in their hands. This is true of many of the early heretics and the early church fathers. We're not accepting their heresies. I'm not accepting their heresies. Dean Bergen didn't accept their heresies. Of these 76 church fathers that died 400 A.D. and before and used the traditional text, some of them were heretics. No question about it. But we are accepting their use of the quotations from the scriptures at the time they wrote that they had in their hands to prove the integrity and antiquity and age of our received traditional Textus Receptus text. All right, that's the script, page 52. Now let's go on to issue number 248 out of 303. More on Lesbian Malincott and the NIV, New International Version. Kenneth Barker, who's the head of that NIV, denied that Virginia Malincott was a member of the NIV Translation Committee, end of quote. He said, quote, she was not, she is not, never has been. Script, page 53. That's my comment. It sounds like when Kenneth Barker says she never has been on the translating committee, it sounds like she had nothing whatever to do with the NIV, not on the committee, nothing. That he didn't say that, but he implied that. And the original advertisement for the New International Version, which I have in my files, Virginia Malincott, who is a lesbian, a self-proclaimed lesbian, all of her life, for years she's been a lesbian. She was labeled as a, quote, translator. Right there in the original advertisement of the NIV, Virginia Malincott is labeled as a translator. Kenneth Barker is not telling the truth at this point. translators were listed, and her name is on the list. As I say, I have this advertisement. If you're interested in having it, just contact our Bible for Today ministry, 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. I'll send you a copy of it, where she's listed as one of the translators. We can prove this to you. This false information was first promulgated by the publishers of the NIV. Why should he be banning or blaming, rather, those who read and believed their announcements? I didn't make up the announcements that Virginia Malacat was a translator. The New International Version Committee made those out and sent them all over the world. And my copy is in my files. Let's go on to issue number 249. Is the New International Version the Word of God? Kenneth Barker, the head of this NIV committee, said that he could hold his NIV in his hand and say, "This is the Word of God." That's Anchorage Script, page 53. My comment? Well, I cannot pick up Kenneth Barker's NIV and say that this is the Word of God. But it has a Greek text which changes the text receptus that underlies our King James Bible over 5,604 places. And that NIV that adds to God's Word, subtracts from God's Word, and changes God's Word in some other way, I cannot hold it up and say it's the Word of God. 6,653 places. This is a terrible thing. In the text, as well as these other places, 6,653. Now, my figure is 5,604 places, but the words, almost 10,000 words that are altered and changed. The New International Version has been besmirched, sullied, dirtied, filthified by those perverted words of men. The same is true to a lesser degree of the New American Standard Version. I found over 4,000 examples of adding, subtracting, or changing the words of God. The NIV, I found 6,653 places where they've added, subtracted, or changed dynamic equivalencies, and I stopped counting. NASB has over 4,000 examples. And the New King James Version, I studied that from Genesis to Revelation in the footnotes of the study edition. There are over 2,000 examples of addition, subtraction, or changing of God's words. I cannot hold up these other versions of the Bible. I cannot hold up and say they're the words of God. No, but I can hold up the King James Bible and say, because of its superior texts, superior translators, superior technique of translation, and superior theology, that this represents the words of God, kept intact in English. That's what I can say. I cannot say that of these other versions at all. This is a sad commentary on the NIV and the falsification of it. In fact, the text that they have, Dr. Jack Mormon has recently completed a tremendously important study where he has, and we have reprinted it, over 600 pages, I believe it is, large pages. He has put down in paper 8,000 plus differences between the NIV Greek text and the text that underlies our King James Bible. 8,000 plus differences. He gives you the translation, he gives you the Greek words, he gives you the text receptus, he gives you the NIV Greek text. It's a horrendous difference. How can you hold that up and say it's the Word of God? Now, if you mean what the people in even fundamentalist worlds mean, not just the Catholics, but not only the modernists or the new evangelicals, but some fundamentalists, what they mean by the Word of God is not the words of God, but simply the Word of God to them means just the message, just the ideas, just the thoughts, just the concepts, but not the words. My friend, God spoke to mankind in words, Hebrew, Aramaic, small amount of Aramaic and Greek words. Our King James translators took those words of Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek and set them into the English language accurately, the only accurate translation of the English language. And we have, in the King James Bible, God's words kept intact in English. And those words that he gave us are there for us to read, to study, to preach on, and to believe. What squad issue number 250 out of 303? What version should people use? That was the topic of this issue. John Ankerberg, the host of the telecast, asked all the participants to tell the audience which version of the Bible they think people should use. That's from the script, Ankerberg script, page 53. What's my comment? Kenneth Barker didn't do what John Ankerberg asked him to do. He did not answer the question. The question was given, which English translation of the Bible do you think people should use today? Which doesn't mean how many. Kenneth Barker said he used them all. He said to use them all. That's what he said. It would seem that he should have said to use the New International Version. That's the paraphrase that he has helped to construct. Let's go on to issue number 251. I would use the King James Bible. That's the issue I use in my church. That's the issue I defend. That's the version, the King James Bible. Let's go to issue number 251 out of 303. Still more on lesbian Malincott and the New International Version. Dr. Chambers, Dr. Joseph Chambers, who stands with us for the King James Bible and the Text Receptus, said the Virginia Malincott was listed under the whole group of translators, and that's probably how they got listed as a translation committee. That's from the Ankerberg script, page 53. My comment? Well, he's correct. Dr. Chambers is absolutely correct. Let me just quote from the New International Version's translators, translation process, the reviews, the choice of editions. Now, this is from Zondervan. It has Kenneth Barker's picture on the front of it. It carries a huge headline, The Translators. A huge headline. It lists all the names of those whom they consider to be a translator, quote unquote. Now, if they had not wanted to have Virginia Malincott listed as a translator, they should have kept her name off that list. But this brochure says, and I quote, says, so if you want it, send me your request to 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. That's the Bible for today. We'll see that you get a copy. Here's what the brochure says from the NIV sources, quote, although the scores of translators and editors come from different denominations and educational situation institutions, they hold one conviction in common, and that their task is a sacred task to honor the Bible as the inspired Word of God. The following is a partial list of these scholars. End of quote. Well, on that list is the name of Virginia Malincott from William Patterson College. Dr. Joseph Chambers is absolutely correct on this. Let's go on to issue number 252 out of 303. And the question on this issue is, who is splitting the churches? Who is splitting the churches? James White, he's there, and said, in speaking of people standing on the King James Bible and for the King James Bible, he says, quote, churches are split. Ministries are decimated by this type of thing. And to quote from the Ankerberg script, page 54. My comment? Well, if the Bible is of any importance, what could be more important than which Bible we use? What could be more important? Before the new versions came out, the New International, New American Standard, and so on, New King James, or any of these modern versions, most of us had but one Bible. I realize the modernists had their Revised Standard Version of the 1950s, we had one Bible, the King James Bible. Fundamental Christians preach from it. They memorize from it. They taught from it. They believed it and tried to live it. And James White is saying that the churches are being split and decimated, that is, made few in number, because people are still standing for the King James Bible. No. No, 1,000 times no. That is absolutely false. It's untrue. It's not correct at all. That statement that he says the split in the churches, the King James Bible is not the answer. The real reason for the split and decimation and reduction in number in local churches, at least some of them, the real reason is the emergence and the combativeness of the publishers and people who are promoting the new versions. That's what's splitting our churches. There's the new, they're the new kid on the block. That's what they are. They're the new kids. These are translations that came out in 1950s, 1960s, 70s, and 80s. King James Bible came out in 1611. The King James Bible people have not changed. These new kids on the block, as it were, these new versions are the ones that are splitting our churches and pastors that insist on using it instead of the old version, the grand old version, the King James Bible. Well, let's go on to issue number 253 out of 303. What does perfect really mean? Samuel Gipp, who was a pupil of Dr. Peter Ruckman, referred to the King James Bible as a perfect Bible. Script, page 54. What's my comment? I would want to have his definition of perfect before commenting on the statement. I don't believe there are any translation errors in the King James Bible, but I have found at least three errors in the Oxford edition of the King James, which are correct in the Hebrew, they're correct in the original King James, 1611, and they're correct in the Cambridge edition. So the Oxford edition has made some mistakes and errors. We don't believe that this is a perfect situation when they make mistakes. It's clearly, those are clear errors. So, not that there's errors in the King James Bible, translation errors, I don't believe that. But we've got these different editions. Printers, as well as translators, are imperfect. And they're subject to the same depravity as the rest of us in the world. I would rather put the perfect stamp on the traditional Masoretic Hebrew text, which God has preserved for us, and the perfect received Greek New Testament text that underlies the King James Bible that God has preserved for us. And he is commenting, or rather interested in contesting the majority text. He wants the majority text, and he's contrasting the majority text, the change of the text receptors in 1800 places, and the Nestle's text. So why not refer to the text receptus underlying the King James Bible in the context? Well, anyhow, the idea of perfection. I believe God is perfect. I believe men and women, boys and girls are imperfect. I believe that God, anything he does, is perfect. I believe his Hebrew and Greek text is perfect. I don't believe there's any errors in it. I believe the translation into the English language of the basic parts of the King James Bible are not imperfect. They're all right. They're fine. But I just simply want to be cautious in the use of perfect, because I know in the early 1611, when the King James Bible was first printed, there were printer's errors. We've said this before. There's the sinful Bible. When one of the editions of the King James says in the Exodus chapter 20, one of the Ten Commandments, it was changed to "Thou shalt commit adultery." They left out the "not." The printer left out the "not," and we can't say printers are perfect. We can't do that. There are errors in the printer's text, but I don't believe there's translational errors in our King James Bible, and we've showed that before as well. Let's move on to Mark 16:9-20, and this is the issue number 254 out of 303. The question before us is, two most reliable manuscripts? Is that what B and Aleph are? True, most reliable? Arthur Fastad, who was one of the New King James leaders, he disagreed, and rightly so, with the NIV footnote on Mark 16:9-20, which stated, quote, "The two most reliable early manuscripts do not have these 12 verses." From the script, Anchorage script, page 54. Well, are the last 12 verses of Mark accurate or inaccurate? They're accurate. Dean John William Bergen has written an entire book, about 350 pages, hardback book, which we have carried. If reprinted, it's available. Simply call us, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask how you can get this last 12 verses of Mark. We'll tell you how to get it. And Arthur Farstad disagreed and
rightly so, with the NIV footnote in Mark 16:9-20, which stated this, quote, the two most reliable early manuscripts do not have these 12 verses. That's from the script, page 54. Well, what is the issue here? The problem is they have a different Greek text. And so the ones that have the Westcott and Hort text, or the Nestle-Allen text, or the United Bible Society text, they take out that word. They take out Mark 16:9-20. The whole section, the last 12 verses, are gone. What's my comment? Well, the note refers to manuscripts B, the Vatican, and Sinai, Aleph. These two manuscripts are not the most reliable. They are among the very worst. And that always is, for instance, when they say that the morning star in Isaiah, that's wrong. That's more corrupt, as Dean Bergen said, than any version that ever saw the light of day, any manuscript, B and Aleph. Now, this is what's wrong with this particular note in the New International Version, when it says the two most reliable early manuscripts do not have these words. They're not most reliable. They don't have the words, that's true, but they're not the most reliable. They're the most unreliable. I was glad to see this situation, Dr. Farstad, and how he sided with the Textus Receptus on the issue. We don't agree completely with Arthur Farstad, but we certainly do here in this instance. Let's go to issue number 255 out of 303, where John Ankerberg, the host, asked Dr. Strauss to sum up the argument, but does not give the man much time to do it. He asked him to do it, and Dr. Strauss steps in, and then he shuts him off. Here's my comment. If you will notice the official script of these programs, as I have noticed, two different people gave them to me, sent them to me, and I have them. All these other men had about 5 inches of space in the manuscript to up to this point in their argument, to sum up the points in the argument. This is, he said, when you give a summary of it, they had almost, as I said, 2 inches of space on the manuscript, on the transcript. But Dr. Strauss had about one and a half inches of space, and that is it. 1.5 inches instead of 5 inches, half the time. Half the space, that's not fair. It's grossly unfair of John Ankerberg, the host of this Ankerberg telecast, to allow him to be cut off in his summary. The final statement, he should have all the time he needs. His first allowed Arthur Farstad to talk, and then John Ankerberg himself, and he asked Dan Wilkins to talk for the first time, and he did. But 4 inches, and dear old Dr. Strauss, who presents our position, had only 2.5 inches of space to sum up what he believed on the issue. Let's move on to issue 256 out of 303. Again, Arthur Farstad, who was one of the leaders in the New International Version, the New King James Version, I'll get it in a minute, the NKJV, New King James Version. Dr. Farstad interrupted Dr. Strauss's summary statement twice, no less. What's my comment? Why didn't Arthur Farstad remain silent as Dr. Strauss had given him silence in his treatment into the different things? But Dr. Strauss was interrupted twice. As Samuel Gipp correctly stated, he said that he exhibited on the virtues of the sad this, and he denied, he extolled, Dr. Strauss extolled, Don Wilkins took the bit by the horns and changed it somewhat. Here's what he said. That's my next issue. I jumped ahead of the issue number 257 out of 303, the faults of the Sinai manuscript, Aleph. And here Don Wilkins, who's in charge of the New American Standard Version, he told of how he studied manuscripts, Aleph, for several hours. He studied the manuscript. Then he extolled the virtue of it and denied that it had been corrected by at least 10 different editors, as Samuel Gipp correctly stated. Script page 55, end of quote. Well, what's my comment on that one? Well, the NASB man, Don Wilkins, contradicted Dr. Farstad, who had just recently mentioned that the Vatican and Sinai manuscripts contradict one another over 3,000 times in the Gospels alone. And that's true, they do. Herman Hesker has showed this in his Codex B and its Allies. Codex Sinaiticus, which is Aleph, is very garbled and undependable. It is one of the most perverted of the Greek manuscripts and transcripts that we have, a B and Aleph. I heard Dean John William Burgon mentions this in his book, The Revision Revised. Burgon has studied Aleph, the Sinai manuscript, for longer than Don Wilkins claims he has studied it. Dean Burgon stated that the Sinai manuscript Aleph was the work of notice, at least 10 different revisers. At least 10 different revisers. Who from the 5th to the 12th centuries have been endeavoring to lick into shape a text which its original author left very rough. This is from the last four verses of Mark, page 76. Did you get the picture? The licking into shape of a very, very rough manuscript on at least the hands of 10 different redactors or editors to whip it into shape, and it's unwhippable. Dean Burgon says you can't whip something like the Sinai manuscript into shape, because it is disastrous. It's not proper, and it should not be used as the basis of our New Testament. Well, time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man has rent, he should be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Write us. Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. Or call us on the order line, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your books over Defending the King James Bible and the Defying King James Bible. And so forget your foes, the King James Bible refuted, free and postpaid, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite, signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. My friends, we're going to continue this discussion of the foes, the King James Bible refuted. Not sure, but it might be the very last week that we'll take this subject. We may move on next week to a different subject. But we want you to stay tuned to these broadcasts. We believe there are issues involved. We believe the King James Bible is at issue. We believe the King James Bible is the only accurate translation in the English language from the proper Hebrew text, the proper Greek text, with proper translators, proper translation technique, and proper theology. We want you to fight in the battle with us against these false versions and perversions, and get for yourself the free and postpaid copy of Foes, the King James Bible Refuted, 156 pages. We'll see you next time. Same time, same station. Until then, so long. We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 836. 836 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional received Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9, but the answer phone, question answer phone, is 856-854-4452. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to get our book called Defending the King James Bible. Now in its 8th printing, 350 pages, hardback edition. Why not ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible, or call us, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Then have you ordered your Defined King James Bible, published with the Bible for Today? Uncommon words in the King James are defined accurately in the footnotes. Not another Bible like it. It's a choice of 12-point large print, 10-point medium print. 46,000 are in print and distributed worldwide. Why not order yourself a copy and one for your friends? The Defined King James Bible. Then have you received your Foes, the King James Bible Refuted yet? It's 156 pages. It's a book. Free and postpaid, $13 value. Talks about this John Ankerberg show. We've been talking about it for the last weeks and months even, and you can follow along in the book and see the arguments against these who are unfaithful to the words of the living God. See you next time, same station, but we want you to continue on this thing. Have you written or received, rather, your Foes of the King James Bible Refuted as yet? Write us for it, 156 pages. It's $13 value. It talks about the answers to the John Ankerberg telecast, which is very false indeed. All right, we're on number 258, issue number 258 out of 303 today. And Don Wilkins has said that, referring to Aleph, the Sinai manuscript, quote, "I only saw a few pages of it," end of quote. That's from the script of the Ankerberg Show, page 55. My comment? Well, how can you make a fair analysis of this if he's only seen a few pages of it? Why did he say and show that he had so much faith in the thing if this is true? Why did he boast about it? I can understand that. You know, last week, he boasted about this Sinai manuscript. He studied it, and it's great, and so on. Well, issue number 259 out of 303. Don Wilkins again, he's of the New International Version chairmanship. He proudly boasted concerning Aleph, or Sinai manuscript, quote, "I'm the only one in this group, I suspect, that's had a chance to actually see it," end of quote. Ankerberg script, page 55. He's proud that he's seen the Sinai manuscript. Well, I'm glad if he's seen it. That's wonderful. What's my comment? Well, there's no pride in his family. He has it all, as we say. He's boasting, that is, Don Wilkins is boasting about this, but the fact that he has actually seen Codex Sinaiticus, or the Sinai manuscript, or Aleph. Well, Titzendorf bought it from the monks at St. Catherine's Convent on Mount Sinai Peninsula, and the monks were getting ready to burn it, either for food or for heat. We don't know for sure. And they knew it was worthless trash. They had neglected it. They'd relegated it to the wastebasket position. That's what they thought of it. Here Don Wilkins thinks that he is somebody, and somebody big and great, because he's seen a few pages of this manuscript. He hasn't really studied it at all, seen a few pages. Well, let's go on to issue number 260 out of 303. Many of the New American Standard Version Greek text was not the Textus Receptus. No, the Greek text behind the New American Standard Version was anything but the Textus Receptus. Certainly wasn't at all. And that's what we state here. It was not even the best evidence. Not even the best evidence in the NASB text. It's issue number 260 out of 303. Don Wilkins, the head of the NASB, says in his Greek text, underlying his NASB, he says this, quote, "The reason we've got the best text is that we have it because we're going back to the best evidence. The reason we got the text the way we have is because we're going back to the best evidence," end of quote. That's from the script, Ankerberg script, page 56. Excuse me. Yes, 56. What's my comment on this? Well, does he have the best evidence? We don't believe it at all. The Sinai manuscript, Aleph, is one of the worst manuscripts possible. The same would be true of the B, the Vatican manuscript. And he doesn't have the best evidence at all. He has the worst evidence to back up the New American Standard Version. And then they've got the updated New American Standard Version. I don't know what they call it. Trying to change a few things here and there. Let's go on to issue number 261 out of 303. This is about the dangers of the new versions. Oh, Dan Wallace is up to bat again. He's a Dallas Theological Seminary teacher. He asked the King James Bible man on the panel, "Are you afraid of these new translations because you think they're done by some kind of a conspiratorial team?" End of quote. That's the Ankerberg script, page 55. "Do you think there's a conspiratorial theme?" What's my comment? Well, I'm not afraid of any of these new perversions. The New American Standard perversion, the New International Version perversion, the New King James Version perversion. All I'm trying to do is to say that the King James Bible is the only accurate translation of all the versions which are out there in English. That's what I'm saying. That's what this broadcast is teaching and believing. It's the only Bible which is taken from the superior and only proper Hebrew and Greek texts. It has superiority in its qualifications for the translators. It uses a superior and only proper technique of translation, verbal equivalents, and form equivalents. Because of all this, these four reasons, it has superior and proper theology. The doctrine is superior. You don't have 356 doctrinal errors in our King James Bible like you do in the Greek texts of the NIV and the New International itself and the NASB and so on. You don't have those doctrinal imperfections and heresies as you do because of the false text of the Gnostics that underlies the New American Standard, NIV, and so on. I'm opposed to these other versions because they have false and inferior Hebrew and Greek texts. I'm opposed because they have inferior translators. You can't compare their translators to the man that gave us our King James Bible. I'm opposed to the new version because they have inferior translation technique. They use dynamic equivalents. They add to the words of God, which is sin. They subtract from the words of God, which is sin. They change the words of God, which is sin, in some other way. I'm against these false and bad, inferior modern versions because of their inferior heretical theology and doctrines. The New American Standard and the New International, for instance, have a Greek text, basically Westcott and Hort. They call it now at Nestle Island and sometimes the United Bible Society text with a few different changes and so on. That differs from the text that underlies our King James Bible, as I said before, in 5,604 places by my actual count. Dr. Scrivener, in his excellent Greek Testament, which we've reprinted, the Dean Burgett Society has reprinted this, it's called Scrivener's Annotated Greek New Testament, where he gives the words that Westcott and Hort have changed and altered from the Textus Receptus. I counted a total of big black marks where they make the changes, 5,604 places. And some of those places involve 12 whole verses, like Mark 16:9-20. Or the woman taken in adultery, John 7:53-8:11. So these things are a fact. 5,604 places by my actual count. And these changes, according to the footnotes of Dr. Scribner, if I read the footnotes and counted up the different changes, they include 9,970 Greek words that they've either added, subtracted, or changed from the Westcott and Hort text that have altered it themselves and changed it away from the text of Receptus that underlies our King James Bible. Well, this is 30 Greek words short of 10,000 Greek words that they've changed in some way, adding, subtracting, or changed. Well, this is not necessarily a complicated issue. It's not a complicated issue, and it's not a conspiratorial truth necessarily, although it might be. The paraphrases have simply started out with the wrong foundation, and that's what these new versions are. They're paraphrases. They don't add the right words from Hebrew to English and Greek to English and Aramaic to English. They're paraphrases to a greater or lesser extent, and the paraphrases have used the wrong foundation. As I said, Dan Wallace, professor of Dallas Theological Seminary, and he's not directly related to any of the actual versions under discussion, but why is he there? Well, he's there because he's got a big mouth. I guess he knows what he's talking about. He's on the wrong side of this issue as far as I'm concerned. He teaches the Westcott and Hort is the way to go and the critical text is the way to go. He doesn't seem to be defending any of these versions. He seems only to be debasing and diminishing and to refuting the King James Bible. I don't know why he's there. I certainly wouldn't want to have him on my program because of his beliefs against our King James Bible. Let's go on to issue number 262 out of 362 out of 303. Dan Wallace stated of the three King James Bible men that are on the panel, he said, "Are you afraid that you're going to lose some of the basic doctrines Are you afraid you're going to lose some of the basic doctrines? That's what he asked of these King James Bible men. This is from the script, the Ankerberg script, on page 55. What's my comment? Well, we currently, definitely, and certainly are going to lose some of the basic doctrines. Because of the Greek New Testament that underlies these versions, these new versions, the textual changes, have doctrine involved. They have doctrine involved. Their doctrines have been in defect. They have 356 doctrines that are not proper doctrines because of the Greek texts that underlie them. And the doctrines must be impeccable. There's no problem with doctrine in the text of the King James Bible. But as we mentioned before, there are 356 doctrinal passages in the NIV because of their false Greek text. They're false doctrines because the Gnostics who gave them these false manuscripts, B and Aleph, did not have an orthodox fundamental view of the Christian faith at all. And so that's why they've put their doctrines in there in those manuscripts, B and Aleph. The vast majority of the manuscripts we have in the Greek language have no doctrinal deviations or variations, just these that were in the hands of the Gnostics in Egypt, and the ones which Westcott and Hort, Bishop Westcott and Professor Hort, picked up out of the garbage heap, you might say, and foisted upon the church of that day and of this day, that false, perverted text of Westcott and Hort, 1881. Well, the doctrines are involved, there's no question about it. In my book, Defending the King James Bible, for instance, chapter 5, I have listed about 158 of these doctrines that are included in this particular issue and problem. Doctrines do make a difference, and the versions that are based upon B and Aleph have false doctrines. False doctrines and false versions go together. Let's go to issue number 263 out of 303. Dan Wallace, again from Dallas, said that those who represent the King James are very much afraid of the modern versions, end of quote. From the script, Ankerberg script, page 55. Well, my comment, I am very strongly opposed to the modern versions. I'm afraid of what these false modern versions are doing and will do to the doctrines of God's Word. I'm afraid because of the false doctrines and false teachings that they have and that they actually teach, and the true doctrine that they omit and take away. That's what I'm afraid of. False doctrine they teach, good doctrine they throw out. I'm not afraid because of the italic, or the false, rather, Hebrew and Greek manuscripts from which they are taken. I'm not afraid of those false manuscripts. I am afraid because of the Bible paraphrase, dynamic equivalency translations, what they use. And so if they would keep the same Hebrew and Greek that we keep, that would be one thing. But they don't. And they add other things that are wrong to add in any way, shape, or form. Well, let's go on then to issue number 263 out of 303. I guess it's 264, rather. This has to do with the accuracy of the King James Bible. 303 issues, this is 264. Dan Wallace again from Dallas, and I ask of the King James Bible, is it more accurate? And a new quote. Well, he answers, no, it's not more accurate. That's from the script, page 35. Well, what's my answer to this one? Well, the King James Bible is more accurate and is the only accurate translation in the English language of any of these perversions represented on this telecast and audio tape program of this man who's the host there, John Ankerberg. It's the most ridiculous one. All these versions, the NIV version, the NASB version, more ridiculous than all. The King James Bible is the only accurate one. It's more accurate than the New International Version. It's more accurate than the New American Standard Version. More accurate than the New King James Version. And the other versions that are there, Revised Standard, New Revised Standard, it accurately represents and translates the proper Hebrew into English, the proper Greek into English. That's important. As I said, when I read the NASB, the New American Standard Version, I counted a total of 2,000 examples of adding to the words of God, subtracting or changing, dynamic equivalency. I read that was the New King James Version, rather, 2,000 examples of that, but 4,000 examples of the dynamic equivalency in the New American Standard Version. And the NIV, 6,653 examples, addition, subtraction, and change, and I stopped counting on the NIV. And so these are certainly inaccurate. I checked them from Genesis to Revelation. I listened to what they said, or rather, I listened to the King James Bible in my Bible on cassette. The albums, we have four albums of reading through the King James Bible. I listened to that, and my eyes followed the other versions. And I found these to have 2,000 in the New King James inaccuracies, at least, over 4,000 in the New American Standard, over 6,653 in the NIV, and I stopped counting. This does not stand to reason. When Don Wallace of Dallas Seminary, which is my school, as I've said before, when he says that the King James Bible is not more accurate than all the others, he is dead wrong. He's made so many misstatements and mistakes on this telecast, in these last broadcasts, than you can shake a stick at. More types of things. He's dead wrong here again. Time and time again, the King James Bible has the exact proper translation of all the others, accurate and proper, from Hebrew to English and Greek to English. Let's go on to issue number 265 out of 303. Is all truth in all the versions? Is all truth in all the versions? Well, this is issue 265. Dan Wallace again, he said this. The truth is still going to be there, whether we use a new translation or an old translation. End of quote. Script, page 55. Well, he doesn't care whether he uses a new translation or an old one. He doesn't care. He says the truth of God is there. Well, what's my comment? Well, truth is not there whether you use a new translation, an old translation. Truth is gone when you take the credit and truth away from the words of Scripture and the character of Hebrew and Greek and put it some other way. If you take it away from the Hebrew and Greek, the character is gone. It's gone when you use the false technique of dynamic equivalency, whereby the paraphraser can add or subtract or otherwise change God's words. This is certainly not the way it is to do it. It's certainly the case of these new versions, though. They change the words. They add, subtract, and change in some ways. You can't have truth when you have 5,604 places in the entire Greek New Testament where the words have been changed from the proper Textus Receptus words that underlie our King James Bible into the words of paraphrase and not accuracy. And that's exactly what it is. It's a funny, phony translation. These are the new versions compared to the King James Bible, which is faithful. We have great, genuine translations, but there's only one that's the genuine one, and that's the King James Bible. You can't have any more. We don't agree with the man, either Wallace or the Don in charge of the NASB or the man in charge of the NIV. We don't agree with them. We believe only the King James Bible is accurate in the English language. Let's go on to issue number 266 out of 303. Doctrine, they say, is affected in the new versions. That's what I'm saying. Doctrine is affected. What do they say? What is the comment? Well, here again, Dan Wallace, who is the man teaching Greek from Dallas Seminary, Dan Wallace stated in the script very strongly, denying, once again, that doctrine is not affected in any way as far as the versions are concerned. He says doctrine is not infected, ineffective. It's not there. Can't find it. Well, just let me take a look at that one. Is it affected or isn't it? The concluding statement of the script by Dan Wallace was, quote, no decision, or rather no doctrine is affected. That's what he says. No doctrine is affected between these two kinds of translations. That's what Dan Wallace believes. No doctrine is affected. If no doctrine is affected, then how can Dr. Jack Mormon find 356 doctrinal passages in the Greek text that underlies the New American Standard and the NIV, the Westcott and Hort Greek text? It is affected. 356 doctrinal passages are listed by Dr. Jack Mormon. You can write them, write for us, and ask for how you can get them. 100 large pages gives these doctrines that are affected. And Dan Wallace is, again, incorrect and wrong. Dr. Mormon has done this job. He's done his homework. He's got them in print, and you can get it. I've listed 158 of these passages, doctrinal passages, where doctrine is involved in the New King James Version, in the footnote edition. I've listed them in the book, 158 of them, where it's not only changed in the New King James study edition in the footnotes, but doctrine has changed right in the text in the New International Version and the New American Standard Version. Now, I've listed 158 of these 356 in Chapter 5 of Defending the King James Bible. You ought to get a copy of that. Write us and we'll tell you how to get it, Defending the King James Bible. Well, here's what my book says on one of the chapters, Chapter 3. Let's just take a look at a few doctrines which are affected. For instance, turn over to 1 Timothy 3:16, where the King James Bible properly translates with the Greek text, the proper Greek text. It says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, God was manifest in the flesh." That's a beautiful, strong picture of the deity of Christ becoming man. The incarnation is pictured here. God becoming man. And that's what it says in 1 Timothy 3:16. Manifest in the flesh, seen of angels, justified in the Spirit. What does it mean in Aleph, where they've taken away God? What does it mean in B, the Vatican, which doesn't even have this particular verse? But what does it mean when they take out God and change it to He? They take out His deity. That's in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. The NIV simply says, "He appeared in a body." No, God, the eternal God, was manifest in the flesh. That's the incarnation of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. What does Aleph do in 1 Timothy 3:16? Changes God to He, or He who. What does the NIV do? They say the best text omitted. What do all these others do? They want to change it and omit it the same way as the other things because they have the wrong Greek text to go by. That's their thinking. That's their theology and their philosophy. Now, here's another verse. Not only God manifests in the flesh, but take a look at Romans 18 and verse 11, which reads like this in the King James. The King James Bible accurately says, "For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost." That's in italic type, that's bracketed, that's taken out of the NIV, taken out of most of the other versions. They just put a footnote and say it's not to be there, shouldn't be accepted. But that is a true statement, and as we'll see perhaps in another time, it's absolutely factually true. But they remove it. Matthew 18:11. If you look in the NIV, you'll see that the whole thing is gone. Now, isn't that doctrine? The Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. That's the very essence of the gospel. That's what the Lord Jesus came to save. And if you couldn't understand it before, well, it's right here, but if you don't have it in your Bible, how can you understand the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost? It will not be in your NIV Bible. Being on it, the Vatican Sinai, which the NIV is based upon, it says that the two most reliable manuscripts that we have, this is absolutely false. This is not the most reliable at all. Let's look at another example of doctrinal perversion in these texts, these false texts of B and Aleph. Look at Luke chapter 9 and verse 56, what the King James Bible accurately says, "For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." And those words are gone from B and Aleph, and so they're gone from the New International Version. They're gone from the NIV. They're gone from the study edition in the footnotes of the New King James. This certainly is doctrine. It tells why the Son of Man came, not to destroy men's lives, but to save them. It's His mission, why He came. The King James Bible has it, and these other versions do not have it, because they're perverted as far as their Greek text. Their authority is gone. Take another example, Ephesians 3 and verse 9. We mentioned this before. Our King James Bible accurately translates it, "To make all men know what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." Those three words, "by Jesus Christ," are taken out of the Vatican and the Sinai manuscript. They don't have them. And so they're taken out of the New International Version, taken out of the New American Standard Version. This is heresy. Our Lord Jesus Christ was the Creator. God the Father created all things by Jesus Christ. And this is important, as well as the Gospel verse, John 6:47. We've said it many times. The Lord Jesus accurately says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." And the NIV and the NASB use the false Greek text and simply say, "He who believes has everlasting life." They leave out "on me." Only by the Lord Jesus Christ and faith in him, my friend, can you come to the Father and be saved, born again, and be redeemed by the blood of Christ. You can't take away "on me." Without Christ, you can do nothing. Time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Write us, Bible for Today, Collinswood, New Jersey. Call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible, the Defined King James Bible. Get your free copy of Foes the King James Bible Refuted, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite, signing off and reminding you that I confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. We hope you'll stay tuned for another broadcast next week. We're probably going to change our topic and leave the Foes of the King James Bible Refuted. We're going to talk about in defense of our King James Bible and of the Greek and Hebrew texts that underlie it. We're going to refute some of the charges, the false charges that are bandied about by many pastors and preachers and teachers in our nation and in our world. We want you to stay tuned. Same time, same station, next week. See you then. Until then, so long.